It occurs to me that this is probably the last New Year's Eve that I'm going to be speaking up here. And so I was seeking the Lord and asking him, you know, what do you want me to say? And the Lord said something really scary to me, really frightening. He said, prophesy. Yeah, I know. Now you're scared, right? And so I'm gonna do some of that this morning. The interesting thing for me is this was really difficult for me. I'm more of a teacher, you know. I do have a prophetic gift. I have prophesied, and you know, I'm kind of used to it. But I'm much more comfortable with personal prophecy, prophesying over individuals, and that's not at all what the Lord showed me that He wanted me to do this morning. So I have a message for you today, and it's a message to God's people. It's not just a message for this church. Let me say, you're not going to hear any vision for CA. If you want to know what that is, talk to Brett, or talk to Jamil, or talk to Ben. Because I'm asking God to transfer all that to these guys. And I really don't have that. But what I do have, I think, is I have some words for you this morning from the Lord for us in this season, for the people of God in this season. And there's one main one, and then there's a few follow-ons, and then we'll see if there's anything else that God... Because honestly, most of this did not come to me till right before I came up here this morning. So it's been a terrifying week for me. Okay. So the main word that I want to give to you this morning, and I think the main thing that God has to say to us, is that He wants us to fear Him, fear God, and not fear anything else. I think that's the main word. Sounds like I'm on fairly good biblical ground there, right? But I think this is important for us to know in this season. I think God wants to tell us specifically to do that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says, and I think the fear of the Lord is missing in large part, not just from the population, but I think also from the Church of Jesus Christ. I think the fear of the Lord has gotten lost. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that and just expound on this word just a little bit. You know, we're coming out of Christmas, and, you know, the angels make four appearances in the Christmas story. They appear to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and the shepherds. And in each of those appearances, they begin their message, the message that God sent them there with. They begin their message with, fear not. Now, what are they talking about? God commands His people throughout the Bible hundreds of times that we are to fear not. There's a lot of them in there, if you want to look. That we're not to be afraid. And I think what the angels are saying is, have you ever considered what angels look like, or what they must look like, or what their descriptions are like? They're fairly terrifying creatures. And some people have seen angels, and some of you may have seen angels, and they're, you know... They're scary. And that's why I think the angels always had to say fear not when they showed up. Because if an angel shows up, they're really big, tall beings of light. They're fearsome-looking creatures. And if an angel shows up, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to be afraid. And so they're saying, that was the first thing they had to say was fear not. And that's, I think, the message that the Lord wants me to give. Is that we're to fear God. See, the angels, it's interesting. Even the angels didn't want people fearing them. But they want people to fear God. The Bible repeatedly tells us not only that we are to fear not about all this other stuff, the Bible repeatedly tells us that we are to fear God. In Psalm 33, verse 8, it says this, "Let the whole world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of Him." So, those may seem like contradictory messages. Fear not, fear God. Which is it, right? It's both. That's the way God is. If anyone ever tells you that they totally understand God and His ways and they've got this all locked up, they are liars and you need to run as far as you can. Because God is beyond our comprehension and beyond our understanding. So He can say both of these things. In the Christmas story, the angels had to tell Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds that they have nothing to fear, even from these big, fearsome-looking creatures. That they have nothing to fear from them, but they need to fear God. In spite of their awesome and imposing appearance, in spite of their supernatural powers, angels are just messengers of God. They are not God. In Luke 2, verse 9 through 11, it tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This is the shepherds, right? And the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were filled with great fear. I like the old translation. They were sore afraid. That's a very southern kind of thing to say. They were sore afraid. Yeah, southern Israel. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They didn't have any reason to fear. He's coming with good news. Now, according to the scriptures and the prophets and the angels and the words of God Himself, we're just to fear God and nothing else. Billy Graham talks about this. I read something that he read. He said this, we usually fear something such as a vicious dog or a violent storm when we expect it to harm us. In other words, we fear something that has no concern for us and is a source of danger. But that isn't what God is like. God created us, He loves us, and the proof is that He sent His only Son into the world to die for our sins. Would He have done this if He hated us or if He intended to harm us? No, He wouldn't have done that. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, God is love. We can fear Him, but we can do that in the understanding that He is also all-encompassing love. So to fear God is not to shrink back from Him in terror. To fear God is to have a deep reverence for Him, to stand in awe of His holiness and His majesty and His power and His love. Billy Graham says to fear God is to consider Him first in everything and to continually surrender our will to His. Only when we fear God with the reverence that He is due will we love and serve and worship Him as we should. You know, if you look around at the world today, many of the sins that we see and many of the problems that we have in the world, they all trace back to one thing, and that is pride. And pride is the opposite of the fear of God. Proverbs 9:10, as I said, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where all wisdom starts. And we need the fear of the Lord. Fear is built into our DNA. Have you ever thought about that? God could have created us without any fear at all if He wanted to. So the Bible's not saying don't have fear, because you're going to have fear. It's what you do with that fear, or the reason that that fear was there in the first place, that makes a difference. Fear's not really a bad thing. The fear that all humans have are created and we're created with, that fear is intended to keep us from destruction. That's what it's there for. And when we think of destruction, we think of war and bombs and earthquakes and floods and fires and hurricanes and violent acts that people commit. Those are the things that we think of as destruction. Powerful cataclysmic events that take life and property and leave devastation. But the Bible says there is a destruction that goes beyond that that we should fear. See, fear of destruction is there for our protection. It causes us to prepare when we reasonably believe that loss of life and property are likely. It drives us to flee when our lives are in danger. But do you know fear, if left unchecked, can quickly get out of control? If it's not controlled, it can start to take over our life. And it can cripple us and leave us afraid, irrational, unable to think clearly, unable to make wise decisions. This is why in the military they have to train to deal with their fear so that they know what to do in those situations and it comes to them automatically. People become enslaved by fear otherwise. Allowing fear to be our master is what God warns us against in the Bible. It would be another form of idolatry to let fear control us. God teaches us in the Bible that the only destruction that we should fear is not the stuff of floods and fires and earthquakes and all that. The only destruction that we should fear is destruction of the soul and of the spirit. That's what God built into our DNA, that fear of destruction. For 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 says, Jesus says, it's coming to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's real stuff. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And that's why God created us. That's why he created human beings with fear of destruction. It's intended for our good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 5 says this, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, as we come into this new year, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves fully are aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them." And that's the destruction of soul and spirit. "As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, listen, y'all, you are not in darkness, brothers and sisters, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." So the antidote to that fear of destruction that we all carry is to fear God alone. Isn't that weird? The antidote to the fear of earthly destruction is the fear of God. That's the antidote. You've probably heard the saying that courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to overcome it. In this life, we need courage. The world needs courage. Our children and our grandchildren need to see courage in us. Courage is a willful choice. It's a choice to put our natural fear aside and to choose to trust God in every situation, every circumstance. And you know what? Jesus already showed us how to do that. We talked last week a little bit about the prophecies of Jesus. I didn't read all of them. Let me read you one of them. This is from Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 1. This is prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." That was his great-great-great-grandfather, is that right? "And the branch from his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And of all those things, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." How weird is that? Jesus got all those other things going, but his delight is in the fear of the Lord. "He shall not judge by what his eyes see." Why not? Because he has the fear of the Lord. "Or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth when he returns. With the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins." Listen to this and put this in the context of fear, human fear. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them." What does that say about fear? Not there, is it? "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How did Jesus find the courage to deal with the persecution that he faced by Herod's corrupt and unjust and brutal government? How did Jesus find the courage not to fear when he was facing the devil in the wilderness? The devil himself in the wilderness. When he was physically weak. How did Jesus deal with the burden of taking care of his mother and his sisters and brothers without a father, without Joseph around to help him carry that load? How did he deal with the concerns of where his food and his clothing and his shelter were going to come from? How did he deal with the responsibility to lead and guide and provide for his disciples as they traveled and ministered together? They're looking to him. Has he got a job? Has he got some? Is he independently wealthy, some source of income? How do you deal with the daily threats of the Pharisees plotting his death? How do you deal with being dragged before Pilate, where he had to face the might and the power of the Roman government? Where did he find the courage to submit himself, to be arrested, to be unfairly tried, to be imprisoned, to be tortured, and then surrender himself to be executed, to be murdered on the cross? Where did he find that? Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Do you understand, for Jesus, he knew what he was going to be doing, and that's not just some saying to him? "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell," that eternal destruction. That's repeated in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and it gives us a little bit of a different take. "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after have nothing more that they can do." That's it. That's all they can do to you. "But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." We don't want to talk about hell anymore. We want to act as if it doesn't exist. You know, as Christians, we certainly don't want to talk about that, especially to people who are unsaved, untrained in the Bible, don't believe, don't understand about sin, any of that stuff. We don't want to talk about that anymore. Jesus didn't have any trouble talking about that. You know why? Jesus knew it was real. He knew the consequences of that eternal destruction, and he didn't want anybody to go there. Jesus said, "Yeah, I tell you, fear him, fear God." In all of his trials, Jesus trusted God, his Father. And he did that because he knew his nature and his character, even when he didn't understand what his Father was doing. My God, why have you forsaken me?" But he knew his love. And even when he knows that his Father is sending people to kill him, he trusts him. Whether he lives or dies, he has faith. He has confidence that he will live again eternally with his Father in heaven. He's not going to suffer that eternal destruction. And he knows, too, that all of this, all the world that we exist in, will be behind him at that point. There's comfort in that. Because of what he did for us, that's our nature, too, if we are born again. We love God, we trust him, and we fear him above all else. Jesus knew the promise of Isaiah 41, verse 10, which says this. This is God speaking. "Fear not." That's one of those hundreds of fear nots that are in the Bible. "Fear not, because I'm with you. I'm with you. Be not dismayed," which literally, in some translations say this, "do not anxiously look about you." I love that. That's the literal translation. "Do not anxiously look about you." Either for somebody else to be your Savior or to come to your rescue, or to look in fear at everything that's going on around you. "Don't anxiously look about you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God." I'm your God. I'm not just God. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, no matter what happens, no matter how it looks, no matter if the worst happens to you here on earth, you will not be destroyed eternally. Trust me, God says. I will take care of you. And that's the main message that God sent me here today to tell you, to prophesy to you on this New Year's Eve. Going into this next year, you need to fear God and Him only and nothing else that's going on around you. Now, you might want to stop. You know, we all make New Year's resolutions, blah, blah, blah. Or some of us have stopped because we know that's useless, right? But New Year's always a good time to stop and reflect upon our lives. I would encourage you today, if this is God speaking and saying this, I would encourage you today to stop and reflect upon the things that you fear. What is it that you fear might come upon you? Stop and reflect upon those things, and then take those and put them at the cross under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and let Him take that fear. And dedicate yourself again to fear God and to fear Him alone. That's the main message. Now, the Lord told me to prophesy. So, see, that one was easy. I could write that one down. There's a couple other things that I feel like the Lord is saying, wants to say to His people today. And God speaks, you know, God speaks to you in a lot of different ways. It's not always just some voice in your head or audible voice, although that's never happened to me. Happens to others. I'm jealous. It's not always through the scripture. God speaks to me in different ways. And this morning God spoke to me in a Billie Holiday song. It started running through my head. Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is true. So we go into this year, and that's biblical, by the way. That part is. The rest of the song, throw it out, okay? But, yeah. Yeah. Don't take the whole song as being prophetic or anything. The Bible part of that is what Jesus said in Matthew 25:29. For to everyone, this is the parable of the talents, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That's something that I think God wants us to know going into this year, that principle is true. That for those that have, more will be given to them in abundance. For those that do not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. Did that scare some of you? It really shouldn't. Because what you have has been given to you by God. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. And God's people receive His blessings, not His curses. So whatever you have, more shall be given to you. And abundance. And you're going to see that happening with God's people throughout this year. But you're going to see that those who don't have, even more shall be taken away. And do you know what that means to us? Not that we should just go around, oh yes, we should rejoice that God takes care of us in that way, but not just take that as just personal favor and spend it all on ourselves. We need to look at those who don't have, that even what they do have will be taken away from them. And we need to consider, what is my responsibility? What would the Lord have me do to help those people, to help someone who is struggling and suffering, and even what they have is being taken away? I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking what's legislation that's being passed. I'm not talking where the money comes from, the government, and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking, this is the principle of God. Back on 9/11, I was trying to make, I've told you all this story, most of you know it. I was trying to make my way back here from Greenville, South Carolina. I was there on business, and the planes, there was no airplane, no air flight that day. And so I was trying to make my way back here. And on the way back, driving through rural North Carolina, the Lord stopped me, pulled me over on the side of the road, and because He wanted to speak to me, and began to show me several things. And one of the things that He showed me was the wealth of this country being drained away. Now, we can look around at us now, and we can look at what's going on. You can say, well, yeah, but it's all back. Is it? Yeah, I don't think it is. Do you know FEMA's out of money? They don't have any. They can't help people anymore because they don't have any money. And our taxes were just cut. Yay, us. Except for the people who are depending on some of that. So, again, I'm not making political statements. I'm telling you what God is doing. But God told me back then, he said, I'm going to sap the wealth of this country away, but to my people shall more abundance be given. And that's exactly what we see happening here. God's people should expect that God will continue to provide for us in abundance as we go forward. But those that don't have, even what little they have, will be taken away. And so that is incumbent then upon us. If that's a word from God, if that's true, then what is my responsibility, God? What would you have me to do with that abundance? Because what I have comes from you. What would you have me do with it? That's one of the words that I think God wants me to deliver. We've had a lot of storms and natural disasters this year. In fact, I saw something the other day that said, as far as meteorological events, this year was the worst ever on record, 2017. I mean, you think about all the hurricanes, the big disasters that have happened, the fires out west. Seriously? Fires at Christmas? I mean, just crazy stuff, right? And so now we're going into 2018, and the Lord's saying to me that 2018 is going to be, we're going to see more of that, but I don't think it's going to get worse. I think it'll be different. I think the things that we saw in 2017 are not necessarily going to be the things that we see in 2018, but it will continue. But I mean, it's not like next year, well, we had, how many bad hurricanes do we have here this year? Three, I guess. It's not like next year there's going to be seven or something like that. We may see different things, but God's going to continue to do that because that's part of the cycle of the earth groaning, winding down, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. We're going to see those things continue to go on. You know that wall that President Trump wants to build? It's going to get built. A lot of people don't think it will. And I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2018. But that wall is going to be built. That's one of the things the Lord told me this morning. The wall is going to get built. And there's probably going to be some social upheaval that goes with that. And you can look at that and say, well, that wall's not going to get built. Where's the money going to come from? Listen, we work in Turkmenistan. If the crazy dictator over there can build a lake in the middle of a desert for his own personal use, you can do anything with money if you've got it, right? And so if you think the wall's not going to get built, you're probably one of the people like me who didn't think that Trump would ever be elected president. You don't know what God's going to do. That wall's going to get built. And again, this has implication for us. What are we going to do about that? What is our heart toward the immigrant? What is our heart toward those families who are caught up in that? What is our heart toward our brothers and sisters in Christ who came here, maybe illegally, but who came here, maybe got saved here, make up churches here, are part of the family of God, and they're going to be ripped apart by those policies and that wall being built? That wall is a symbol. It's a sign of what is happening in our nation. It's going to be walled off. So I'm not saying it's all going to get built in 2018. I've never been good with timing. But that wall is going to get built. And that is a sign to us. What is our heart? What are we going to do with that? We're going to have to pray and ask God how we're to respond to that. Just as next year, if there are more natural disasters, we're going to have to figure out how to respond to that as well. What's our responsibility to our fellow citizens and our brothers and sisters in Christ when those things happen? How do we respond? And the last thing that the Lord said to me this morning is that you've probably heard me. I have my own little pet doctrine. I've called it, and you've heard it in sermons probably once or twice. I call it Pax Americana. There was something called Pax Romana. It was the peace that Rome imposed upon the world, and it went on for a long time. With the might of the Roman government, their armies and all of that. But they established peace. And during that time of the establishment of peace and the fact that Greek became the common language around the world, the gospel expanded exponentially because people could successfully transition, go across borders, and they had a common language, and so the gospel could go, right? For, I would say, at least since World War II and perhaps going back farther, we've had what I would call Pax Americana, which is that we've been the policemen of the world. We were the strongest military. We were the folks with the biggest stick. And we kept, God used us to give a peace to the world and to establish trade and to bring down borders and to open up the world so that his gospel could go forth. But that's ending. America's going into a period of withdrawing, coming back from the world. And so that might and that force, because people were afraid of our military and they were afraid of what we could do, that might and that force is being withdrawn, and as it's being withdrawn, it creates a vacuum. And something's going to move into that vacuum. I have my own theory about what it is, but it's not what God said, so I'm not going there this morning. But as this Pax Americana ceases, what we're going to see is more wars and rumors of wars, just as the Bible predicts. There will be a lot of grasping going on, a lot of realignment of nations. You're going to see nations lining up with other nations that you thought you would never see happen. Crazy kind of things going on. And that peace that we have known, that we've experienced for all of our lives, except for those that went through World War II, that's going to go away. And there'll be wars and rumors of wars and things going on. This is designed by God. And it's designed by God to set up the desire for a Savior. Some people are going to find that Savior in the wrong place. But God's going to use that to draw people to Himself as well. So, those are the things that I feel like God wanted me to say this morning. Let me just pause here a second and see if there's anything else. God says that He's made it clear that He wants us to continue with our food pantry ministry this year. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because our food supply is going to be imperiled. Most of you probably know that most of the food that is consumed in the United States is not grown, not produced in the United States anymore. Our food supply here in the United States is going to be imperiled. And it's going to hit the poor the hardest. And God's going to continue to provide for us so that we can provide for others. So, again, I want to remind you in all these things, the main message here today: fear God. Don't be afraid of anything else. Okay? That's got to be first and foremost on your minds as we go into this new year. Yeah, I think that's it. So there you go. That's the word of God to you today on this New Year's Eve going into 2018. I'd encourage you to take those things and go before the Lord about them. We'll find out whether that was the Lord or not. But that's what I feel like the Lord has told me to tell you today. Now, again, if this search your heart, if these things stir up fear in you, you know where to take that. You need to take that to the Lord with the understanding that He will take care of you. What is that that it says in Isaiah 41:10? Fear not. Why? Because I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not anxiously look about you as if there's some other solution. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Church of Jesus Christ, and David was prophesying when he prayed this morning and he didn't know it. The Church of Jesus Christ will pull together in all of this. We will finally see all those denominational and racial and ethnic walls coming down as the body of Christ pulls together as one in the days that are ahead of us. And it's going to be glorious. The deposit of God in His people will shine brightly like it never has before. And people will see the glory of the Lord and they will be drawn to it. So don't be afraid. Fear not any of that stuff. Fear God and Him alone. Amen.